said that poetry makes nothing happen. Well, maybe not at the time, but in the long term, a poem like Easter 1916 can profoundly shape how we regard historical events. I'll be exploring this with Dermot Ferriter, author of The Transformation of Ireland, 1900 to 2000, a huge work of historical synthesis, some 900 pages long, and to discuss the many-dimensioned quality of Yeats. We'll be talking to the RTE broadcaster, himself a poet, Theo Dorgan, and we'll also be joined later by the novelist Anne Enright. But first, let's set the scene. Dermot, what was it that happened to change everything utterly?
Well, the Easter Rising began on Easter Monday in 1916 when in the region of 1,600 Irish men and women declared war on the British Empire on the streets of Dublin and declared an Irish Republic. They've been referred to sometimes as a Legion of the Excluded. They incorporated many different small groups, people who had been involved in the Cultural Revival, poets, teachers, those involved in some of the secret revolutionary societies such as the Irish Republican Brotherhood, those involved in Labour and Socialist politics, members of the Irish Citizens Army as well. What they did was not just important in the context of the evolution of Irish politics, but also a challenge to the British Empire during the First World War. It was very much a minority event, and it was something that caused a lot of surprise and consternation.
And Theo, what was the relationship of W.B. Yeats to these people?
Yeats had spent the previous 15 to 20 years of his life trying to imagine a new Ireland into being. He would have known a number of the participants, so there must have been a sense of personal affront when he discovered not only that this had happened, but that they'd known about it in advance and hadn't told him. So there was a certain amount of nose out of joint about it all.
So what these people did on Easter Monday 1916 was to seize a number of key buildings in Dublin city centre. They had their headquarters at the General Post Office on O'Connell Street, and they effectively were challenging the British military to respond. They held out the insurgents for about a week before there was an unconditional surrender at the end of that week.
So Yeats begins his poem by saying that he's known some of these people, he's just seen them going about their daily business, but something extraordinary happens, something changes as a result of this event.
I have met them at close of day, coming with vivid faces from counter or desk among grey 18th century houses. I've passed with a nod of the head, or polite, meaningless words, or have lingered a while and said polite, meaningless words, and thought before I had done of a mocking tale or a jibe to please a companion around the fire at the club, being certain that they and I but lived where motley is worn. All changed, changed utterly. A terrible beauty is born.
The leg pardig mac fearish forogra fublic na heren, on ara seo frodig sin na fórsi a yarvig fwy anam, chiarth na heren chan a sirse.
We've walked into the General Post Office, and the first thing you see in front of you is a black tablet on the wall reading, "Here on Easter Monday 1916, Patrick Pearse read the proclamation of the Irish Republic. From this building he commanded the forces that asserted in arms Ireland's right to freedom." We've come up to the balcony, looking down on the floor of the General Post Office as people queue up to buy their stamps. So is this the place where the terrible beauty was born? Dermot Ferriter, how many people actually occupied the post office?
Well, that's a matter of debate. Certainly not as many people who later claimed they were here. The original plan was for a garrison of 150 people to be in this building. Now, during the week, the GPO actually acted as a kind of a magnet for all sorts of latecomers. So there were just over 400 people here throughout the duration of Easter week 1916.
And the siege came to an end with what, sort of heavy artillery or a storming?
There was heavy artillery, there was also a lot of sniping going on as well. Pearse had decided eventually that to prevent the further slaughter of innocent people that he would have to surrender unconditionally, and he actually sent a nurse, Elizabeth Farrell, to give over this note of surrender.
Theo Dorgan, it's a very atmospheric place, but do you think, as an Irishman, that buying a stamp here is somehow different from buying a stamp anywhere else? Is that resonance of history still in the building?
Nowadays, when you make a revolution, the first thing you do, you seize the television station. Seizing the GPO was not, in that sense, accidental, because it was a nexus of communication. I like the building particularly now because it's a crossroads of the new republic. If we look down here from the